Father, bless your name, Father, Abba, Father, bless your name, glorify, magnify your name, Jesus, we lift up your name in this place, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Father, we bless your name this morning. We're honored to be your children. Honored to be your servants, your sons, your daughters, your ambassadors. Your name is high and lifted up in this place. No apologies. Joy in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Increase your presence and your joy inside of us. And peace with you will be the result. We receive it. We receive your peace. We actually receive more of you. That brings us peace. Because you are the one. You are the one. We want to live like you. We want to be like you. More of you expressed through our lives. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Yes, Lord. Let it be true this morning. Let it be true this morning. Receive our worship. Receive our praise. You're the only one worthy. None of us. None of us. But you make us worthy in your kingdom. You start out worthy. We need to be made worthy. Thank you, Lord, that you've done it. There is now no condemnation in Christ Jesus for us. No judgment. Those of us that know you, you say so. We bless your name. Thank you, God. Your grace is magnanimous. Your grace is greater. Thank you, Lord. Bless your name. Bless your name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Wow. I love it. How about you? A little more of the presence, a little more of the peace. Come on. I walked in this morning and I was attacked. Not by the enemy. So smile. It's good news. I was attacked by the Spirit of God. I walked up. There was a group ready to surround me with prayer. Now, if you're afraid of the abundance of your Father, you like that, you say, I don't know about those crazies. They've already been practicing worship. They've been praying for a while. I walk in. You either run towards it or you run away from it. Their eyes were on fire. They were looking a little wild. I decided to run towards it, towards the circle. I entered the circle and threw myself back. And fortunately, there were people there to catch me. And I went to the floor And received as they prayed over me. You are looking at a filled up man. Ah. You see, this isn't just about facts, is it? I said, this isn't just about facts. We gather around some facts. Jesus is the Lord. You know, there are plenty of people that believe that, that don't live it, that don't have any experience with it, because they don't encounter Jesus. In order to believe, you have to encounter Jesus. You know those fumbling, bumbling disciples? They're us. And they walked around with him. They encountered him. They experienced him. They didn't just read a book, a Bible story. In theory, Jesus came, did healings, and is alive. They actually walked with him. They saw him on the cross. They watched after he arose. They greeted him. They touched him. They felt him. We're supposed to do the same thing. Sorry, honey. Supposed to do the same thing. I'm watching my diction in these days. I'm leaving off my ings. I've been away from teaching too long. I wasn't that good of a teacher. I taught elementary school for 25 years. And I realized this, it's about 10 years, a little less than 10 years since I stepped out of teaching. I wasn't that good of a teacher. In kingdom things into teaching math facts. It wasn't always the best. The kids would give me the same look that you give me often when I'm up here. For instance, I would say to them something like this. We're learning fractions in math. I would say, kids, what do you think? Would you rather have 2/3 of the pie or 1/3 of the pie? And most of the children would say 2/3. And I'd say, no. It's a pie. You want the whole thing. You want 3/3. And they would look at me like, see, some of you have been the same way with the Lord. He says, would you rather have 2/3 of what I am or 1/3 of what I am? And you say, oh, Lord, 2/3. He's saying, no, you don't understand. I don't come in thirds. You don't split me up like a pie. What you want to say is, I'm hungry, Lord. I want all of you. Much of the church, much of us, and those outside this wall that are part of the body of Christ are settling for 1/3 of Jesus. 1/3 of Jesus. They're doing fractions, very elementary fractions. 1/3 of Jesus. They love the salvation part. And they love the preaching part. If they get an opportunity, they will share their faith with someone. And nothing wrong with it. But it's 1/3 of what Jesus asked us to do. It's 1/3 of Jesus. You don't want 1/3 of Jesus. Say, shake your head like, I don't want 1/3 of Jesus. See, Jesus doesn't come in thirds. So he says healing is available. Okay, I'll receive healing. That's okay. But will I pray for healing? I mean, what if it doesn't happen? I could destroy somebody's faith. I've found over the years that as I've prayed for people, even if they weren't healed and we didn't understand why, they increased in faith. Hear me. Praying for them didn't destroy their faith. You can never go wrong sowing into faith. You don't understand the result. Because you're building them up to trust a God that's bigger than their healing. They're going to need more of God than just a healing. You're going to need more of God than just a healing. So another third of Jesus is healing. Wow. That changes everything. Jesus heals so many ways. Our hearts, our bodies, he wants to. You don't have to beg him. Now, we don't understand everything in healing, do we? We still see from earth's eyes, no matter how much of the spirit we have. Often, we see still in a limited way. We'll see it all when we get there. We can receive revelation to see more and more and more, but I guarantee when we get up there, we're going to say, wow, how little did we know. So we better contend for what we're able to know while we're here. If it's a little, we better contend for more of the little that we're going to know while we're here. Does that make sense? If it doesn't, just go, just like my fifth graders. What's the other third? Deliverance. Okay, I'm not sure I even want to see that. Be around it at all. Sure. The children can be released. I thought they would go as soon as I started saying math. I did get a wonderful birthday present this morning. Kayshawn brought me baseball cards. Huh? When you're getting presents that are precious from the little ones, something's going on. I feel more like a father now than I ever have. Awesome, huh? Let's go to Matthew 9:32. As they were going out, Matthew 9:32, a mute, demon-possessed man was brought to him. After the demon was cast out, the mute man spoke. And the crowds were amazed and were saying, "Nothing like this has ever been seen in Israel." But the Pharisees were saying, "He casts out demons by the ruler of demons." Ever notice about the Pharisees? They showed up and tried to stop everything good. Anything good that was happening, let's stop it. It's got to be a reason to stop something good for the people. That's a strange group of ministers, don't you think? They're the leaders, spiritual leaders, and they're trying to stop everything that's good. There's a message in there somewhere. Okay, there I am. After the demon was cast out, the mute man spoke, and the crowds were amazed and were saying, "Nothing like this has ever been seen in Israel." But the Pharisees were saying, "He casts out demons by the ruler of demons." Jesus was going through all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. So let's see, he's preaching. And we'll include teaching with that. He's healing, and we just saw that he delivered a person of a demon. That's the complete Jesus. Seeing the people, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest." So he gives that out as a command to the church. Let's get some harvesters and send them out. Then he shows us how to do it. Chapter 10, verse 1. Jesus summoned his 12 disciples, gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. Then it goes through and names the disciples. Verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent out after instructing them, "Do not go in the way of the Gentiles and do not enter any city of the Samaritans, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach," same thing he was doing, "saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick," the same thing he was doing. "Raise the dead," same thing he was doing. "Cleanse the lepers," same thing he was doing. "Cast out demons," the same thing he was doing. "Freely you received, freely give." This is the real Jesus. Not a one-third Jesus. Not a limited Jesus. And so much of the church today is saying, well, yeah, he did that with those guys. Those fishermen, they became apostles, and he just did it with those people. He doesn't do all that with us today. He just wants us to go out and preach the gospel and spread the word, get more people saved. Oh, okay, we can disciple them, but let's not get into the healing and deliverance kind of thing. That's a little bit shaky. That's a little bit scary. That's over the top. I'm telling you, that's where the sweet stuff is. I love to preach when we're anywhere. Love to share the gospel with anyone, anywhere on the earth, especially those that are really under bondage with Hinduism or with Islam, because they're so dark, no hope, and their God does nothing for them. It's such a joy to show them he lives right inside. Look in these eyes. Look into these eyes. Most countries of the world, they look into your eyes. They believe it's the window to the soul. So go ahead, look. Who do you see? Do you see Bill? Look a little harder. Jesus is in there. Jesus is in there. And so when a bunch of crazies go with us and all of them have this fire of Jesus in their eyes, Islam has no chance. Hinduism is so dead as a religion, it has no chance. Buddhism is, there's just no chance. Now, yesterday when we had the conference on human trafficking and the fight against human trafficking, I think one of the law enforcement people said something about, lo and behold, there was a Buddhist temple in New York that was holding the passports of some illegal workers. And Buddhist temple, what a shock. And I think, no, it isn't. They don't have any truth. If they have any truth, they've stumbled upon it. A blind squirrel ends up bumping into an acorn eventually. So before Jesus, all of us were a bunch of blind squirrels running around trying to bump into an acorn or two. And occasionally we did, and we came up with something that was actually truth, apart from Jesus, but given as a gift from Jesus. So you'll talk to people, and they'll have this little speck of truth that they're able to share with you and go, that's God. And then the other 99.9% you can hear is not. Are you judging them? No. You're fruit inspector. You don't see the fruit, and you want them to have it. So don't let the enemy say to you, well, you're a judge. All you're doing is judging them. And they go, so many people judge me. They just judge me. There's a reason. You only have one little shred of truth. They're judging you according to the word of God, but they have the heart of compassion. You know, you can judge with compassion, and it's not the kind of judgment the Bible's talking about. Bad judgment is trying to put someone down, never give them any hope. You're dirt, you're this, you're that, because I know what's happening. I got the truth. And I don't care if you come to Jesus. Makes me feel better if you don't, because I got it. That's the wrong kind of judgment. If you're a fruit inspector, you look at the fruit of a person's life and you say, wow, I wish they had Jesus. I want them to have Jesus. I want to be part of getting Jesus to them, because they need the full Jesus, and they've got this little shred of truth, and that needs to expand, and I want to help that expand. I want them to be crazier than me about Jesus. That's a different kind of judgment. That's more of a evaluation saying, okay, you need Jesus. If we don't do that, we can't ever share with anybody. Oh, I don't want to judge you. You might know him. I think let's take the conservative approach. If they don't show it in their life, their speech, their actions, let's just assume they don't know Jesus and try to offer him to them out of love. So it's the right kind of judgment. It's the right kind of care and concern about their life. And if they go out and win India, we're going to be happy. Wow, he did much more ministry than me. Oh, God, that's great. That's awesome. That's what you want. So Jesus says to them, be just like me. And we have many people saying, well, I want to be just like Jesus. Do you? Do you know how dangerous of a statement that is? Hugely dangerous. Oh, I want to be like Jesus. You might have to change something, a thing or two, throughout your life. There'll be adjustments, changes, getting on Holy Spirit's page more and more and more and more. You know, and many, I think, preach from pulpits, and they're trying to get the people to do that. And many pastors, leaders are burning out trying to get people to obey. So I make it simple on myself. I'm not going to burn out, because I'm not going to try to bring the hammer down to make you behave yourselves. You may notice, if you've gone here very long, we don't necessarily tell you every week. In fact, very few times. Maybe never. You need to have a quiet time. We assume you will, if you love Jesus, somewhere along the line, you will want to have some quiet time with the one you love so much. Like on my birthday, Friday,
My beloved took me out for lunch at an Italian restaurant. Little pasta. Passionate pasta. So, and then we went across the street to Starbucks. I said it was my birthday. We didn't go to any Middle Eastern food place. It's my birthday. We headed across the street to Starbucks after filling up with pasta. Yeah. See, Jesus wants to eat a little pasta with you. You should want that experience, an encounter, an experience. Enjoy it. I remember being in a section of the body of Christ in my past where it was, you need to have a quiet time. Every day. Don't miss. Because your day will go better. So I'd have my quiet time dutifully. Maybe, I actually got something to apply by the end of the day. I hadn't done it very well. The next day, by the next day, I'd forgotten it. What was going on? I forgot that the Word is Jesus. He's with me all the time. I can interact with Him all the time. I can have a quiet time with Him while I'm at the stoplight rather than getting frustrated. I can enjoy His presence in me, the Word in me, when I'm driving behind somebody going the speed limit. And then you fall in love with the Word, and you can't wait to get some of the riches in the Word. It's just a matter of how you approach it, isn't it? Are you in love, or are you under some kind of system? When you're love, you do things because you want to. You like to be wooed, and you like to be the wooer. You enjoy what you're doing. It's not a constraint, it's freedom. It's not something you have to, it's something you joy to. So you fall more and more in love with a person that has loved you way before you were created. And you go, hey, this works. I'm not stressed out. I'm kicking. I'm on fire. I'm enjoying this. Wow. Telling you. It's important. So that's why when it comes to things that He told us to be like Him in, why people get shaky about the healing and the deliverance part of Jesus. If you really knew Him, you would know that any work of the devil, He can get rid of like a pesky bug. You see, there's no contest between Jesus and the enemy. We've been making too much of a contest of it. It's not a contest. That's why yesterday during the human trafficking day, fighting human trafficking, why we declare that it will be ended in this generation. Why? Because we think we're so powerfully great. Powerfully strong, powerfully spiritual. No, because it's God's heart. And when He moves His righteous right arm, whether it's in your life or whether it's something across the earth that's an evil, Nothing can stand against it. Nothing. Nothing. So, you know, Islam is spreading throughout the earth. They're terrorists. What's that do? Fear. Fear. What if they move to Maslin? Oh! Or Jesus has got it. And he's going to use me in individual Muslims' lives and sometimes groups of Muslims. So what's he do? Well, you can give out the gospel and they go, we know the angel. We have teachers that tell us how to get around everything you're saying. Everything. And they spout back to you scriptures out of the Bible. So you say, wait a minute, I'm giving out the gospel. It's supposed to be powerful unto salvation. It is. But you're only giving one third of the gospel. When someone is healed in front of them, they're paying attention. That doesn't happen in the mosque, outside the mosque. Doesn't happen. Now you've got their attention. And if someone is healed of a demon, which many of them are subject to, and they see it, now you've really got their attention. Because that's the full gospel. Now, it doesn't mean that every time you meet a Muslim, you have to have a healing, you have to have a deliverance, do a little dance, a jig, and that's... No, no. There's no formula. God will do what he wants to do if you're willing to let him do it with a Muslim or anyone. Don't limit the very gospel that is Jesus. Don't limit Jesus to being one third of who he really is. Let him be all that he is. I'm telling you, today, let yourself eat the whole pie. And you'll find you're much more effective. But I wouldn't know what to do, how to pray for somebody to get healing. I have people in my office. They need prayer. They need healing. But I'm even, you know, I'm kind of trying to just get Jesus inserted there over time. You know, they might not be able to take it. If you pray for healing and they get healed, they are very open to Jesus. And you say, but I can't do that. You're right. Neither can any of the rest of us that have prayed for healing and seen a healing. That's the fun part. You pray for healing and go, God, heal them really. Not just to have them receive you, but let them see you revealed. They see the real powerful Jesus, not some Bible character, not some bumper sticker. Care about them beyond their salvation. Care about their actual need of the moment. Jesus will take care of it all. He's the full package. No pressure on you. Gee, I got an ache. You know, you don't have to say, well, let me give you the gospel. Then we'll get to the healing. And if it's a demon causing it, we'll get to the deliverance. No, you go to what their need is, whatever it is. Simple. This hurts. Do you mind if I pray for you? Oh, that's so hard to say when somebody's going, ow! Oh! And you know the healer. Let him groan for a couple more minutes if it makes you feel better. But how about praying for them? I want to follow Jesus. Then do that. Follow Jesus. Follow the real Jesus, the powerful Jesus. Well, I think I might be able to do that. That's right, you can do that. And do you know what?
What the coolest thing is, if you've never done that before, he loves to rush into those people first and use them because he wants you doing this throughout the earth. So he loves to come to those newbies and somebody gets powerfully healed because they're new at it. Loves it. The rest of us have to deal with the complications of some people not getting healed because we're a little bit more mature in that whole process. We have to answer their questions. We have to pray into them, continually contend for them, maybe for years, not knowing why this one got healed and this one is we're still contending for. We'll deal with that. But you newbies, I'm telling you, if you've never prayed for anybody to be healed before, I release you because you're going to see such a big boost in your own faith. You're going to know more about Jesus. You're going to start in on the second third and the third third. And guess what? It doesn't stop there. With Jesus, it can go to four thirds. Five thirds, six thirds, seven thirds. We can get into mixed numbers. Woo! I love it. And you should too. So if you've never done it before, somebody, could I possibly pray for you? Would you receive that? Yeah. You're going to be surprised how many people say, yeah, just a few minutes before. They were speaking in a language you wish you wouldn't hear. But suddenly you say, would you like the Jesus that you've just been saying in kind of a negative text to heal you right now? Yeah. It doesn't have to make sense with them. They're all confused. You're the one that's not. You're the one that's not confused. You know what an agnostic is, right? And what's that sound like? They raise their right hand. I solemnly swear that I am now confused. It's okay. Nothing wrong with it. They're on their way. Believe me, if they take a label like that, they're just on their way. They're using the label to try to keep you back a step or two. But you pray for healing for them and they get a healing suddenly. Oh, they're not confused anymore. There is a God in heaven. He loves me. He cares about my life. Who is this God that would care about my life? And then you say, why, his name is Jesus, the one I was saying, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, hoping the person gets healed. They're going to get it. They're going to be less confused. Even if they don't receive Jesus at that moment, they are less confused. Part of your ministry is reducing confusion. You should take joy in that. There's enough confusion on the earth, and you're reducing it one person at a time. Great. That's a tremendous ministry. Because the next person could come along and say, you know, I don't know, but you just seem like maybe you'd be interested in Jesus. Why, let me tell you what happened to me last week. There was an office worker in my office, and I said something about, and they came over and went, Jesus' name, Jesus' name, Jesus' name. And you know what? I walked out of the office, and I didn't even tell them, but I was, woo! Yeah, feeling good, feeling good. I need to get back and tell them. So are you open to that Jesus to heal you? Yeah, I am. What do I have to do? Who do I have to see? What do I sign? Are you happy to end some of the confusion for that to happen for some other believer to lead them to Jesus? Does it matter who leads them to Jesus as long as they get to Jesus? Jesus is the one. So fun. But you have to believe in the whole Jesus. One third just, I mean, it gets it done. You know, some people are open.
they receive Jesus without any healing or any delay, that's fine. The gospel is powerful, even a piece of it. It gets inside of a person and tears them up. But when you have the whole arsenal at your disposal, all of Jesus, all this powerful Jesus, and you're going around like a keg of dynamite everywhere you go, ready to explode, ready to explode. Whoa, what a difference. Being open to learning, all of us are learning more about how God heals, more about how he delivers people. But more often than not, it's the exception rather than the rule when someone comes up and says to you, do you know Jesus? I just want to know him. Now that happens. But it's more likely something in their life that comes off their lips that shows their need for Jesus. But it comes in the form of, I need healing. I need some peace. My family is a mess. My life is a mess. I have addictions. I have this. I have that. I have the other. Jesus always started with whatever their need was and then took it to the place that he wanted to take it. He can get it done. Whatever need they're expressing, ask God, how am I supposed to help with this? It's awesome. And I know you're going to have more ears to hear. Many of you are bringing testimonies already. Many, 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 many of how God is using you. That's tremendous. But I think your ears are going to be more open this year than ever to those cries in people. They're saying, their spirit is saying, their dead spirit, I need Jesus. Okay? But what comes out of their mouth is, you know, I got a problem in my family. Their spirit is trying to come alive. And especially around you. Because your spirit is alive. If you were a dead person and you're around a live person and you wanted life, you're it. And they just, ow, life. Your spirit's going, give me some life. Come on, come on. This one knows life and knows Jesus. But come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. And what comes out of their mouth is, my ear hurts. So when Jesus says you need eyes to see and ears to hear, this is some of what he's talking about. You need to hear what's down inside their spirit through what comes out of their mouth. And so you say, could I pray for you? And their spirit's going, yeah, 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 yeah. And what comes out of their mouth is, well, I'm not sure. Don't be fooled by what comes out of people's mouths. Because they filter it through this thing. And it's not transformed. It's not working properly. Confused, remember? And so it comes through this grid and out of their mouth. Well, I'm not real sure. Then you need to go, not, oh, okay, I'll leave you alone. You need to say, well, I'm more than willing. You don't have to preach the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Sounds good coming out of Jesus' mouth, not so much out of yours in that particular situation. So you say, I'm more than willing. And you kind of get your hand up. That's for you, not for them. You just kind of, you know, don't show them, but you're ready. It's like you're drawing your six shooter. Because when they say, well, I guess that would, you don't wait for them to finish. Because they could add something on the end because this thing might kick in. You just go ahead. Boom. You pray for whatever their need is. And you are saying, God, I know you're the one that heals because I don't feel anything powerful coming out of me. You might feel that way. Now, there are a few individuals in here, they feel something like lightning coming out of their fingers and everything. I want that experience. I don't feel that way. In fact, other people have told me, you have lightning coming out of your fingers. They say, your hand is so warm on my body. I'm going, well, I wish I felt it. But it doesn't matter. Whether you feel something or you don't feel something, you have opened yourself up to give them the whole pie of Jesus. And when they eat, they're going to see the pie is much bigger than what they ever, ever, ever could have thought that he was. And if you're new at this, so often they are instantly healed. And they're jumping around and they've got this look on their face like, wait a minute, no, wait, it's got to hurt again. They're trying to get the hurt back. This has got to hurt. I mean, it just hurt a second ago and all she did was pray. All he did was pray. That's right. That's what connects you to all that he is for you. Praying or receiving. Notice something about Jesus, you know, how he drew away, Mark 1:35 and other passages, drew away to be with his Father, even overnight. But his prayer in Matthew 6 is like about 3 or 4 verses. Here's how you're supposed to pray, 3 or 4 verses. Now, does that fill up a whole night for you? Well, it can, because those things can be just areas of prayer, of course. This is my theory. He gave the short prayer because we are supposed to pray, but the rest of the time he was receiving from his Father. He was getting the download of what he was supposed to do, and we know that he was here to reveal the Father, the Father's heart. He was soaking. Jesus, have you ever imagined Jesus soaking? Short prayer, what's he trying to tell us? Pray these areas, expand these areas. There's much that you can do with these areas of prayer in Matthew 6. But receive the majority of the time from your Father. Get his download, get his heart. Now, we believe that here, but I'm telling you, across the body of Christ, we need to kind of spread that message of joy and enjoyment of the Christian life, because many groups I was involved with in the past, Bible studies, men's groups, you name it, churches, it was, we need to pray more. Okay, you need to pray more. All of us, we just don't pray enough. And Jesus gives this short little prayer. Certainly we've met that short little prayer, at least at its basic level. You know, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication, acts. It gave us all kinds of little, increase your prayer in that. And don't pray too much for yourself. Pray for others. That's the emphasis. You know, it's a whole whale of a lot easier to pray when you've received from him. You've kind of soaked in who the Father is, how much he loves you, and he tells you in your spiritual ear, he goes, I love you. You're like, oh, Father, you are amazing. You're awesome. Oh, shh, 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 shh. I love you. Oh, God, my heart is burst. Shh, shh. See, you're bursting with worship and praise and thanksgiving, and you start saying, wow, if you're this big a God, you can certainly take care of this problem that's coming up. I don't have to beg you. You can take care of it. You can get me that job. You can get me that life mate. It's no problem for you. You love me. What am I worried about this thing for? Why am I trying to do it myself? Jesus soaked in revelation from his Father. All through the New Testament, he talks about, I'm just here to do what the Father wants. Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. He was soaking it up, soaking it up. Who could worship the Father better than Jesus? He sets aside his active divinity. He was still divine, but he set aside his active divinity so that he could be like us as much as he could be. One human body with the Spirit of God going crazy inside of him. That's what he wants for us. You want to be just like Jesus? He lays it out in everything that he does. But we can't settle for one third of it. We have to let all of it be active and not be afraid of stepping out into it. You're stepping out into something that you don't fully comprehend exactly what you're supposed to do. Don't back off. Jump out of the boat like Peter onto the water. Give it a shot. And you get to walk back with Jesus. Well, now, you made it this far, Peter. Now, next time, when we jump out on the water, we're going to kind of do it this way. And this is how you avoid all that fear coming against you. And I love how many of you are taking those risks. But if I don't think we've ever left the impression, but if we have, I want to get rid of the impression. Pastor Mary Pat and myself, our leaders, are not the only ones that are supposed to be expressing the full Jesus to every person. Our whole goal, our whole desire is that you step into all of Jesus. It doesn't matter who you are, what position you'll have in the future, what position you have now, doesn't matter. More of the pie for you. And start passing out the pieces, and the pie fills back in. You know, that's what I like about Jesus' fractions. You pass out pieces of the pie, and the pie fills back in. Many people are avoiding God's abundance. But if he didn't really want you to enjoy his abundance, he wouldn't have multiplied the bread and the fish. He would have ate them because he's the only one worthy to eat that one little meal. Well, let's see. We've got a few fish and some loaves of bread, but too many people. Who's the only one here that really deserves the lunch if there's only one person to give it to? Oh, Jesus. Yeah, let's give him the lunch. He's the only one that deserves it. He's the one that deserves all worship and praise and honor and glory. Let's just give him the lunch. He didn't even let him get there. He multiplied that through their hands so quickly they didn't even know what happened. It was out there to the people and blessing them and over-blessing them, and they get the baskets full afterwards. He wants that for him in your life. That same multiplication. You shouldn't be satisfied with a piece of Jesus. You want him expressed to the world through you. But you don't want someone at the front saying you need to do it because you need to obey God. Why? Because love comes first. You have to fall in love
with Jesus. I could wave my finger every Sunday, obey, 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 obey. And you would try. And that's what I mean. You would try. And some good things would happen. But nothing like when you fall in love with him. Ooh. Nothing like when you fall in love with him. We've seen that with this body of believers. These posters are on the walls, these pictures and so on. They're just a piece of what God is doing through you. As you learn to love Jesus and express the full Jesus, all of Jesus. And you can do it with such joy. Sometimes you're just joyful in your ministry. You walk into a room and you're just filled with joy and you're expressing it. Sometimes I'm singing Scooby-Dooby-Doo and people comment on, wow, you're happy. It affects people when you have Jesus expressed inside of you. When you're receiving so much of him, you're just splashing. You can't help it. Splashing everywhere. Your family gets splashed on. They hate Jesus. They're just getting splashed on. And first they're like, and then and their arms get shorter. And then some of them start receiving Jesus. Okay. And then one of the other ones sees this one receive Jesus, and they hated Jesus before, and suddenly, onto the household. He doesn't just want you to be a believer and bang your head against the wall all your life with your family. He's going to get in there and use you powerfully to transform your family so it's under the household. And if you say, well, you've said that many times before, guess what? I'm going to say it many times again. Jesus repeated himself. There's four gospels, you know, on and on and on. Why did he need to? Because we need to hear it over and over again. It's like a new wave coming into the shore. Ah, yeah, that's right. Oh, I remember that now. I'm reading through the gospels right now, and you know, it's like, ah, yeah, I read that before. 15, 20, you know, 30 times. Ah, it seems so different this time. New refreshing. New waves coming into the shore. Affecting you in new ways. Touching you at new times in your life. This isn't supposed to be a drag. It's supposed to be giddy joy. And that helps when you're having a very difficult day. So, that was the introduction. Actually, I was going to talk on a different passage. The passage is Matthew 4. So if we could go there quickly. Starting in verse 1, Matthew 4, this is the temptation of Jesus. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he then became hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. By the way, it's okay to talk like that to the devil. Maybe not your brother. He's not heard that before. Then the devil took him into the holy city and had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus said to him, on the other hand, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, go, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and began to minister to him. Some passages it says the devil left him for a season. He'll be back. So, with my prior comments, I'm going to try to act like those things are to go together. My prior comments about the whole Jesus. Often when this passage is given, they say, well, see, Jesus used the word of God. And, you know, broke down the enemy's argument. But the real point is, if the enemy is the argument, Jesus always wins. Whatever argument the enemy gives, whatever lie he tries to purport, Jesus always wins. Because he's the word. Enemy uses the word, Jesus uses the word back. It trumps it. So there are people that you're going to meet that use the word of God. And they might know more scripture than you know. But if you know Jesus better, you know the word better. If you know Jesus better, if you've encountered him, if you know the three-thirds plus Jesus, not the one-third Jesus, I don't care how many Bible passages they spout, you know the word better. So some of you have been thinking, gosh, I don't know the word of God very well. I don't know, you know, somebody's saying something and I don't really know what to say to them. Well, you can imagine, pastors are asked all the time for the defining answer to everything. And more, I'm finding that that answer is simply, have you encountered Jesus to the point that you really know what his heart is on any issue rather than all the conflicting things that seem to be in the word that aren't really conflicting, but to our minds, they don't go together so easily. So if you know Jesus, you know the Holy Spirit well enough to figure out what his real heart is in some of these issues. Someone emailed me this week, I know we're against abortion. I guess we meant all of us. I know we're against abortion. What do you think about? What was it? What do you think they ask? Some of those would be easier. No, wasn't on the issue of abortion. What do you think about the death penalty? Oh, some of you are like, boy, I'm glad you're on the spot with that one. See, if you go by what the majority of the body of Christ goes with, if you go with the minority in the body of Christ, what their thought opinion of it is, I think you're far away from the heart of Jesus. Either way. Because I don't think it's either one of those. Yes, I'm for it. No, I'm not. Yes, Christians are for it. No, they're not. Yes, God is for it. No, he's not. I think we're far away from God's heart. Because here's a woman caught in adultery, thrown right before him. It's against the Old Testament. And Jesus minister to that person with compassion. Whereas Ananias and Sapphira. They lie to the Holy Spirit. Bam! Gone! Women caught in adultery is supposed to be stoned, according to the law. Jesus writes in the sand. I guess you could say that all the stones were turned to sand, and he wrote in the sand and used it against her accusers, not against her. Ananias and Sapphira, they lie. Why couldn't they ask for forgiveness? And bam! And they didn't just say they were struck dead. They were dragged out. And fear came over the church.
Whoa.
So, either way, you're in trouble with this issue. That's why you need to know the heart of Jesus. He works with people individually. He thinks of them not as a glob, but as an individual. He thinks of you as an individual. He works his grace in your life as an individual. He works discipline in your life as an individual. One Christian may get away with so much, you're like, how in the world? Every time I try that, I'm like, bam! Something bad happens, or he comes to me and spanks me. This person's doing it in freedom. How could that be? It's trying to tell you, you're valuable as an individual. He works with you individually. He has in his own heart what he believes works in his kingdom, in his principles, in his word for you. But he's a person. He relates to you individually. So, you see these things on Facebook or anywhere else. People get on this, okay, let's start a campaign against. Now, some things, right is right, wrong is wrong. Killing a baby in the womb, that will never be right for any person, no matter what their excuse. You don't kill life that God makes. Easy. But there are situations in God's heart where he will take a life. And we don't understand why. His judgment will come swift and strong. Where the majority of us are under such grace, we can't believe it. So what's the answer to that? Seek the heart of Jesus and think of each individual person as an individual person. And God will work in their heart. Government has its role. And he gives them that role. Jesus didn't go around messing with the government that much. And he still messed them up. Pilate was all, he didn't know what to do. And Jesus, He didn't say, you don't have the right for this and you don't have the right for that. I'm the Son of God, blah, blah, blah. Pilate asks him a few questions. He's silent most of the time, and he tore up Pilate's whole family. Pilate couldn't. I don't want to, but he was all messed up. Jesus was completely at peace. Who was the one crucified? Jesus, or was he? He offered himself. Pilate was the one that was. So we can mess up the government by just following Jesus. We can march at times, sure, but let's not make that our entire existence, is going to marches in Washington. I've been to Washington. I've done marches. But let's not make that our whole ministry. We can mess up the government right here in Ohio.
By raising up a standard, by raising up Jesus. His name so high, it can't be ignored. Laws will change in and out. But the kingdom is over the earthly kingdom. We're reigning with a king that's over all these earthly kingdoms. So governments at times will take their right to end someone's life. But if you had an opportunity to speak to that person in jail, which I have had, someone going to the death penalty, I'm not going to say, you deserve it, so nice meeting you. I'm going to tell them that Jesus has enough grace to cover what they did. He has enough forgiveness to cover what they did. He can forgive them of the most atrocious crime and bring them into his kingdom, just like the thief on the cross, if they're willing to do that. So how we view these kinds of things, rather than coming down so... Think of the individuals involved, what you would do with an individual in front of you that's condemned to death. Are you going to rise up against the jail and say, let him go free? Tell the judge, go there and speak on his behalf. Well, if Holy Spirit led you to do some of those things, fine, but I think you would do a far greater work to engage that person personally, just like we're saying, and give them the full Jesus. The full picture, his full salvation, his full forgiveness. Tell him what he's done for you. So where do we get that? Well, that's how Jesus operated. That's what he did. He didn't say, you know, about the thief on the cross, let him loose. I'll take his punishment today. Well, he already was. But he didn't say, let them loose. Didn't bring lightning down and, you know, took out their spikes and they jumped off the cross and ran away. He let government have their role. But in the meantime, he offered himself to both of them and one received. And he would be with him that day in paradise. Wow. I want to be more like that. I want to have that kind of wisdom. I want to go after that person. I want the whole Jesus in my life. How about you? You know, we do it together because each one of you teaches other people in this body something that you are strong in Jesus. Some of us are strong in walking up to a person and saying, hey, I see you're limping there. Can I pray for you? The rest of us go, ah, I don't know if I can do that. They can teach us. That person can teach us to have a little more boldness. When we hear the results, person goes, yes, and then they're dancing down through the halls of the school. You go, wow, I'd like to see that. Well, you're going to have to reach out. You're going to have to put your hand out when you don't feel comfortable, when you don't feel like, oh, I can't break into their world that easily. Others of us struggle with internal things. We're okay one day, the next day we're down to the dumps. One day we're like, woo, Jesus. The next day, woo. Me. Jesus, me. Jesus, me. You know, there are those of us that don't have big swings like that. We can help. Iron, you know, level it out a little bit where it's not such a big swing. You can trust Jesus in the hardest of times as well as the joyous, most joyous times. We can help with that. We help one another by our strengths in him and many times by our weaknesses. There are people that come up here and give testimonies about their weakness. I don't know if you notice that. I was feeling like and then Jesus came. And Jesus, you know, had me speak this out of my mouth. I was like... almost trying to get the words back. It was so bold. And then the person goes, yeah. And then, woo. And then they were. And I was.
They're talking about their weakness. I don't know if you noticed. He made it strong through them. They were used in ministry out of their weakness. Isn't that good news? It's good news for modern man and woman. Good news that he can use us even in our weakness. What if we have to be strong before every person that we're to minister to? Wouldn't that be terrible? That would be terrible. So if the enemy comes to you and say, you know, you're not very strong today. In fact, you're tired. You're not only tired, but you have one of your own aches and pains. And you not only have one of your own aches and pains, you can't even think of a scripture at all. You're not going to step up and minister to anybody, are you? You're going to go, I'm too weak, I'm too weak, I'm too weak, I'm too weak, I'm too weak. I'm saying you are released to be weak and be powerful ministers of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because I'm going to let you in on a little secret here. Almost everyone, except for Pastor Mary Pat and a couple others, feel entirely weak when it's time to minister to somebody. And the enemy comes in and he tries to convince us we are way too weak to minister today with this person in this situation. And we have to say, no, I don't believe it. Because Jesus is powerful in me. He's the one doing it anyway. If I just open my mouth, something good of life is going to happen and change that situation for that person. So I'm going to, even though I feel weak and tired. And if Pastor Mary Pat wasn't in the room, I'd say old. But I don't. Through Jesus, we don't have to be any of those things at any moment. In fact, you know, how many times in the New Testament? Weary. He was weary. They were weary. Everybody was weary. They were weary, 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 weary. And so many things happened. Healings, deliverances, people being raised from the dead. They were weary. What's that got to do with it? Nothing. Being weary, being tired, being out of sorts, having a bad tood. Attitude. It doesn't make any difference. You can still be used by Jesus to minister powerfully, and your tood will change. You'll feel far more strong after ministering. You will want to go out and dance all night if someone's life gets changed. And just a few short minutes ago, or hours, you were totally ready for the couch. I think I deserve to be on the couch for at least 6 hours. Whew, been such a long day. Oh, here's a person to minister to. No, I deserve the couch. You won't have to go to the couch. You'll be so exhilarated on the inside because you're giving out the whole Jesus that you will be built up. You'll be, whew, your motor will be running. Now, little thing at our house. Pastor Mary Pat ministers so often that her motor is running into the night. Thank you very much, some of you. And guess who gets awakened? She's not like, oh, he's asleep, I'll let him sleep. She is, I've got something to tell him that Jesus is doing at 3 o'clock in the morning. He needs to know right now. And she'll shake me. Hey, are you awake? I am now. So I know whereof I speak. When something powerful is done through a person, they gotta tell somebody, and I happen to be that somebody at 3 and 4 in the morning. And sometimes she starts earlier. And she'll just start talking about one of you and how, oh, aren't they awesome? And they're gaining so much in Jesus. And I'll say, I know that. Let's go to bed. Let's sleep. It's a new concept in our house. And it may last for quite a period of time. She'll repeat it several times in case I didn't get it, that you're so wonderful. Now, I've told some of you, and you think I was jesting when I came to you and said, you owe me sleep, but I am keeping accounts. I don't care if you come to church or not. I'm not checking you off for that. But if she's going to talk to me at 3 o'clock in the morning about you, you owe me sleep. Who was that infidel? Okay. Says right here in verse 7, you shall not put Pastor Bill to the test. Okay. Maybe it's time for my message now. What does the enemy come to? Since he came to Jesus, he comes to us in the same way. What does he come to Jesus with? First temptation, do something to satisfy yourself, your own appetites. That's what the enemy comes to you with. Do something to satisfy yourself. Don't worry about pleasing God, loving Jesus. Do something to satisfy yourself. That's what I meant, the couch. I need to sleep. I need to get to the couch. I'm so tired. And yet there's this person in front of you that's precious treasure to God, and they need something. They need something from him, and you are the distributor. You are the one that can splash it. So Jesus says, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. You've been fasting for 40 days. Now, you know what? After 40 days, Jesus became hungry. We become hungry a little sooner than that, usually. What was he concentrating on? Relationship, his Father. And then 40 days later, he goes, oh, I guess I'm hungry. See, we've got a ways to go yet. We might get hungry after 24 hours or 3 days of fasting or whatever, was suddenly, oh man, I'm really hungry now. Took him 40 days because he was so enjoying the bread he was receiving from heaven and that he was part of. After 40 days, he finally became hungry. So the enemy goes, now he's weak. The weakness of God is so much stronger than the strength of the enemy. It's not even a contest, as I mentioned earlier. Not even a contest. Jesus could be at his absolute weakest. You can be at your absolute weakest, but you have Jesus inside of you. If you center on the strength of Jesus inside of you, suddenly your weakness starts to dissipate and you're into his strength. That's living out of the Spirit. Not the flesh. If you feed the flesh dog, he will eat your lunch. You go, oh man, I am depressed. Oh man, I'm feeling low. Oh. You feed that dog, it will take you right down. You feed the idea that Jesus is so good, he's so powerful. This isn't going to take me down. There's no way, because he's inside of me. It can't take him down. It's not going to take me down. You're going to approach things much differently. So the enemy thinks that Jesus is weak, comes to him and says, do something to satisfy yourself. Tell these stones to become bread. Feed your own appetite. And Jesus just expresses what he's been doing for 40 days. Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. He was living in his weakest point on the word of his Father. It was filling him up, taking care of every weakness.
I'm saying he went through this so you could see it.
This wasn't, you know, well, we're going to see who's boss here. The enemy or Jesus? Oh, phew. Jesus was able to fight off the enemy.
No, it was never a contest from the beginning. This was for you to see how he comes to you and how you can flick him away like a bug as well. It's for us. It was no contest with Jesus. The enemy didn't know that. But Jesus was never threatened in any way.
What's the second temptation about? Took him to a holy city, had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." You see, the enemy even learned by coming up against Jesus. Oh, Jesus used scripture against me on that first one. I'll get you back, Jesus.
I'll use scripture. But see, scripture out of the enemy's mouth is going to be a lie. Not the proper time to use it, not the proper way to use it. So it ends up being a lie.
Can scripture be turned into a lie?
Yes.
In the sense that the person interprets it, uses it for their own benefit. So the enemy tries to twist it, use it for his own benefit. Jesus simply stands up to him, kicks him in the teeth with scripture. You know what he was really saying? Do something rebelliously stupid. Throw yourself off this temple and expect God to catch you.
Lots of people do that. And they call it a thrill. Well, I'll just try this. I'm going to get up on top of this mountain in some kind of vehicle, throw myself down the mountain, start a complete slide of the mountain, see if I can get beyond the roll of the snow and survive. And what is the purpose of that? It's such a thrill. Inside. And we go, these are extreme sports. And the enemy goes, going to kill a lot of people for doing stupid stuff instead of asking me, is this best for your life? Is this what you really should be doing? So I had a dream last night. I did something rebelliously stupid. Now, this is amidst of studying all these things. I took my nice 2012 Cross Tour, ran it up to the edge of a cliff, pressed on the gas for it to go off this, massive cliff, to go to the other cliff that was much lower. And what do you think the result was? It flew through the air. It crashed, and in my thinking, I thought, oh, it's probably not too bad. Now, I'm saying this is like miles from the top of the cliff to the next cliff. And I'm thinking in my head, oh, it's probably not too bad. Maybe I'll have to replace, you know, something underneath the car. And then someone had to actually tell me, no, the car is completely destroyed. I went down and looked at the spot where the car had flattened, and they'd already carried it away. Completely black. It burned it up. Everything. And I was fully into this dream, so I'm thinking, what do I do now? I don't have a car. I guess that wasn't such a good idea, but it was a good idea until I saw the evidence of it being a massive crash. For what? Stupidity, a stupid decision. Have you ever felt like you made just such a ridiculous decision like that?
Sure you have.
And this is what the enemy tempts us to do. Make really stupid decisions and expect God to catch us, I guess. But Jesus wasn't fooled by this. You think you can taunt me into doing something? I'm secure in who I am. I don't need to please you, enemy. I don't need to please this desire inside of me for some kind of a feeling or a thrill or whatever. I know who I am. And I know what's important. What's important is you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. I care about what he thinks about my decisions. That will help any of us in a lot of decisions, won't it? We'll make far few stupider decisions. And if you're not real good at making decisions and you feel like you've had a series of stupid decisions, there are people that are making very good decisions in here. And you should hang out with them and listen. You won't make as many stupid decisions. Life-altering decisions. One of my favorites is, well, you know, they told me at the school, and if this is your situation, please don't take it personally. I'm really thinking generally. They told me at the school that, man, there are not a lot of jobs in my area, in this area. And so I will have to move out. I will have to apply in Montana and New Mexico, Alaska. Now let me get this straight. You're going to go to Boise, Idaho. You're going to go for the job. It's in your field because it's open. You're going to apply for a job in Boise, Idaho. You don't know a soul in Boise, Idaho. You don't know if there's any spiritual help in Boise, Idaho. You don't know if there's a gang you can get with, a group that it has a vision for God. You have no idea, but you know there's a job there. And that job becomes paramount in your thinking. Must go for the job because the school said there aren't many in this area. Let me tell you one thing about the schools. They always say that. There's not many jobs in your area, so you may have to apply everywhere. There's not many around here in your area. You'll have to apply everywhere in order to make sure that you get a job. And I'm telling you, that's as crazy as driving your car off of a cliff without you in it. Well, maybe you are in it. A job is never the ultimate thing to go for. There are many people in here that they were told, no way, there's no jobs in this area for you, in this area of your expertise and blah, 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 blah. And lo and behold, there was, because God opened one up. He can do that so easily. Another one, there is nobody my age coming to this church, and how am I ever going to be married? There's no one that, you know, I'm even attracted to in this church. Even though they are in this church. How am I ever going to be married? There's some knowledgeable laughter going on. Do you know that God is preparing your spouse right now on the earth? If you're alive, they're probably alive. Okay? Otherwise, you're going to be marrying someone, you know, maybe 25 years younger. Might happen, but probably not. So they're alive right now. They're somewhere on the earth.
And we're saying an almighty God who knows everything, who's been everywhere, who is everywhere, who created the entire universe, cannot cross your path with that person. Bring them to front line. Bring them to the gas station. And you trip over when they're putting their gas in the car. You trip over the line. Like, oh, I'm sorry. And you meet them. And I'm a dedicated Christian wanting going to the nations. Really? So am I. I mean, he can do anything. Please. He wants you more together for the kingdom purpose and to bless your life than you want. Think of that. Wow. I know I'm over, and I've been over before. But I just had a birthday, so I'm going to take one more shot at this. If anybody shouldn't have met, shouldn't have been together, and so on, is Pastor Mary Pat and myself. We didn't know each other. She was from Illinois. I was from Michigan. We didn't know each other at all. I had decided I was going to be the single parent Apostle Paul. I wasn't even looking, dating, nothing, taking care of my children. And he still was able to overrule my strong feeling that I was going to be single the rest of my life and go for God and all of that. He was still able to cross our paths, two different churches, two different parts of the city, cross our paths and change my heart, bring the two of us together for his purposes, and now you're sitting here. As a result of him doing that connecting. So it's kind of hard to convince me that he couldn't or wouldn't want to do that for you when I wasn't even going for that. And many of you are. Of course he is able to do that. So the lesson is, don't drive your 2012 Cross Tour off of a cliff today. Be the wrong day to do it. The last temptation, worship me by giving your life to position, power, popularity, things. Worship me, the enemy says. And of course, Jesus answers again. You shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. He wasn't persuaded away by some kind of earthly temptation. You know, don't be persuaded away because, wow, they may not be a Christian, but they're hot. Maybe they'll become a Christian, a hot Christian. Isn't that what they mean by on fire? Or unless they let me become part of the leadership of Frontline, I'm not coming there anymore. Or when I go to Frontline, they don't seem to like me. They don't seem to like us. They don't like our kids. Our kids run around. And they don't like our kids. Because they run around. Then you don't know us very well. Because I run around. I've been waiting to have a church where I could run around. Ever since I grew up in the church, it was don't run around, sit down. Even when I was teaching, I couldn't sit. Wanted to go around the classroom. The students were trying to read. Please, go back to your desk. I just wanted to move around, be around them, you know, engage them while I gave them an assignment. I told you I was a bad teacher. I'd like you to read right now. Then I would go and interrupt them. Luke 12:15. We'll end on this, hopefully. Someone have that handy? Luke 12:15, NASB, that could read it real loud. Thank you. Could someone else read it? Nice and loud. Luke 12:15. Okay, so he just says there's something greater than any of these things. Jesus says, you shall worship the Lord God and serve him only. There are no possessions, nothing that you can have, popularity, position, that can take the place of experiencing Jesus. So if those things are, you know, temptations in our life, it doesn't usually come out like, I want position. It's more, man, I wonder how come they've never seen my gifts. How come they haven't asked me to preach instead of Pastor Bill? You know, or whatever. It comes in that form. How come they don't appreciate me? How come they haven't seen what I'm really gifted at? They wanted me to take out the garbage last Sunday. I should have been, you know, leading the evangelism. How come they don't see? Believe me, if you're taking out the garbage week after week after week, people will see your servant heart. And you'll be appreciated, all right. And when God sees, he sees it all. And you'll be in the place you're supposed to be. If you're willing to take out the garbage, he might take you to amazing places in his plan, his time. Father, we thank you, God, that you are not infractions. You are the complete, mighty God. And we want that to operate in our hearts. Jesus, you're in there. You're ready through Holy Spirit to blast out of us to a needy world. Blast out of us to lift ourselves up. Not always getting a crutch from someone else, but willing to take the crutch out of the closet for ourselves and walk with it until we can walk properly. Through you, we can solve many of our own problems if we just know you're not infractions. You're the complete solution for everything inside of us and everything for another person. Give us the boldness to reach out as you would, listening for the need, seeing the need, and ministering to that need with a full heart. Listening to the Holy Spirit the whole time. And God, we know you will bring people into your kingdom. You'll bring life into their spirits because their spirits will be hungry for the real powerful Jesus. You'll change neighborhoods. You'll change nations because they'll see the real Jesus inside of us, unafraid to let him be expressed through our lives. End all of our excuses, Lord, in this year of 2013. End our excuses. And let us step up to who you really are, the complete Jesus. And we'll give you all the praise for working inside of us, for being who you really are inside of us. We will not accept any lies about you being limited. We won't accept any temptations from a very, very, very limited enemy. We're going to accept your best. Go for your best. Go for your fullest. Go for change inside of us, adjustments. Take us out of our comfort zones, Father, because we love you, not because we're trying to strive to get out of those comfort zones. We'll just fall back into them, but if we love you, you will take us out of those comfort zones. Thank you, God. You're so good to us. You're so powerful. Give us the heart not to let the enemy shrink you before our eyes and increase the size of our problems in front of our eyes. Let it be the other way around. You are constantly becoming greater in our eyes, more powerful in our eyes. And the enemy can throw all kinds of things in front of us. We can have some of our own problems and weaknesses. Situations can develop to challenge our faith, but we will trust in the big Jesus inside of us, knowing you're not limited as we take on those challenges. We give you all the praise. We honor your name in this place. We lift it high. We lift it high in our hearts. We give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay. As part of our new wave of our concentration for prayer and worship in 2013, so to echo Pastor Bill, there wouldn't be excuse. That is actually something that God does call us to do, to increase in, as he was saying in a very fun way, that we want to get to know him, fall so in love with him, have an encounter with him, continuously encountering him. It doesn't mean that you're shaking constantly on the floor, but encountering him, that we'll be propelled to take up the banner of heaven, bringing heaven to earth. And the outpouring of that, some of that we saw yesterday. We had an amazing conference yesterday. When I stood here and I looked out and saw this place virtually filled at different points, wow, people coming and going. We had a pastor who came who texted us and said that it was a wonderful conference. And the pastor said, wow, you are really, really raising up people in this place to take their place, to lead, to be able to do that thing. They could see that from the way that you carried yourself, from the way that you handled yourself, from the way that you interacted with the people. And a pastor who's thinking, a pastor would notice those things. Some pastors do. I would notice that. And so we got a text from that pastor, and I was so encouraged because that is a witness that the Lord is saying, yes, you're stepping in, your hearts are being grabbed. So when we talk about human trafficking, it's not an issue. It's the heart of God. Although the world, we have to give it a name, so we call it an issue. But it's the heart of God saying, please, I so want you to be free that your heart will break for the people that you saw in the video, for the customers, for the girls, for the outpouring, all the things that were going on, for even the traffickers, that your heart will break because God's heart breaks. And that will so wreck you to a place of abandonment for the Lord that you can't wait to spend time with him even more, because it's only a broken heart falling in love with him that will really be able to carry the compassion for all the people involved in this heinous atrocity that's globally affecting all of us. So I wanted to mention that and thank you so much. It was hard to sleep last night at first. We have spent many nights up, and we've spent them together either on the phone or sleepless nights to plow what needed to be plowed from prayer and doing flyers and posters and making calls and carrying chairs in. And everybody had a piece and a part. And as the Lord would say, you know what? That person in front of you needs what you know, needs what you carry. Help them, bless them, connect with them. Those are the places where the Lord is going to grow us up in the Spirit in 2013. I really believe it. So if we call ourselves a leader, then the Lord will show us. And we might miss something here and there. That's not what I'm saying. It's not the law. But we will have eyes to see the need right in front of us and the people, the obvious things that we will do. And many of you did that. And I am so grateful. And I would text people in the middle of the night who were driven not by performance, but driven by passion for the Lord, giving up sleep, saying, oh my gosh, I can tweak that video. I can cut things out for a name tag, things like that. And even with the greatest plans to have everything, all ducks in the row for this perfect schedule, we had some surprises at the end, international surprises, which put people in another gear. And I watched it unfold because I have been on that end for, we've been doing this since 1995. And I know what that's like. And I shook my head in smiling because the Lord was behind it. Things that came up that no one would foresee per se, but yet God was, it was a test to see. Do you have eyes to see? Do you have hearts to see? It wasn't, oh, your schedule wasn't right. And so when we try to help others out and make things easier for the people around us, those are the tests. I'm adding my voice to some of the things that Pastor Bill said. Those are the tests. The Lord's saying, I'm giving this to you. Don't be too tired. Don't be too busy. Don't be. Because I will give you what you need. And just as Pastor Jose and Pastor Meltari said, if we don't give what we have, we're not going to see the needs. We're not going to go. And the people will not receive from us. Listen, buy Relentless Pursuit, DVDs and CDs. Put it on your agenda for what I spend my money on if you are able to. Cut back on something. Get them. Offer them to yourself. Listen to them. Watch them. And there's so much in there to propel us in 2013. I just think it's important. I want to mention February 22nd, we have an all-night watch. I don't believe we would have had the success in the kingdom yesterday that came without the prayer and the fasting. And continuously, as Luke 18 says, crying out day and night. But it's not crying out from striving. It's being the one to say, Lord, I'm so in love with you. I want to commune with you. So when we do this corporately, in addition to our own prayer time, things change in the Spirit. So I'm asking you to consider this on your list of things to do. Consider it before the Lord. He will direct you. But there's a cost involved. It takes time and, yes, sleep. So you can do things if you are interested, and it makes a difference. When you know or see in the Spirit or feel as though God is bringing people out of brothels from our prayer, not just preparing us for a conference, but he's doing both. It'll wreck you forever that you can't wait. You see, those are the things that just nail our hearts of, man, I can do damage to the kingdom of darkness. Anne's not here. Are you here, Anne? You are here. Thank you. And Tony, yes, it is. Thank you, Tony and Anne. Thank you. Thank you, Tony and Anne, for what you have done in leading the troops. We've been with you. You've done a great job. This was an incredibly challenging conference to put on. You may think, well, we did Relentless Pursuit for 4 days. This was much tougher. Much more was demanded. Oh, yes, we had a trial run. That helped. But the things that needed to be taken care of, this was not an easy task. And you did it. I am so proud of this church. I couldn't wait to get this. I had to say this. Thank you. God bless you for coming to it yesterday, making a way to come, praying that you would be able to come, standing, helping, doing all that you do. And Anne, Now, Tony, I'd ask you to come, but you didn't have the vision. So, Anne, come and share what you saw in the spirit after this last night, would you? And then we'll close. But February 22nd, mark it down. It's an all-night prayer, and it doesn't mean that's the only time we pray. But it's another big one.
Just as things were closing yesterday, I'm just sitting in the back, and all of a sudden, God took me in the spirit, and I saw they looked like storm clouds, but they were building, and they were building, and they were building. Something was happening in the realm of the spirit from what was going on here yesterday. And as it built, it became a firestorm, is what I saw, a firestorm. And I could see a little bit of darkness over here from the enemy. He's not happy. He was not happy at all with what went on here yesterday. And isn't that great? Isn't that something? Isn't that something? Whoa. But it is continuing to build. I keep seeing it. God keeps bringing it back to me. And every time he shows it to me, it's bigger. It is a firestorm, and it is building, and it is building. What you folks, I have to thank you. I have never been so blown away by so many people who stepped up and said, yes, I'll help, and what else can I do? People who stayed here, came in the daytime, came at night, stayed late. I am just so thankful and so pleased with you guys. You're just amazing. You are really something. But know that in the spirit, big things were happening because of what you did to make yesterday happen. And I thank you, really.
And we need to give God glory. We need to say that. We need to declare those things. So God bless you for that. And we are selling, just to cover the cost of all this, because we need to do that. We're selling DVDs and DVDs and CDs and MP3s of yesterday. But we did not tape at all. FBI agent and the lieutenant from Canton. That was their preference, what they needed to do. So if you missed yesterday, I'm really sorry. That session is not there. So, and that's been included, thought through in the price already. So, and also, Tom, did you have anything quickly to say? If not, we'll just... Thank you. And if you want to get more, better grounded in the Word of God, sign up. You can know Jesus through the Word, which takes you more and more into His presence. It's both, not one or the other. So don't ever think, I'll just kind of do this. That's being stupid. And we aren't in this place. We are wise. Okay? We push the Word and the Spirit together. And that's why God's taking us to the places He is. So God bless you.